This is Ken Jones, host of Jonesy. No relation. On today's show, we'll be re-airing one of our favorite episodes, which originally ran on December 22nd, 2021, the eve before Christmas Eve. Our guests are master storytellers Lynn Duddy and Lawrence Howard of Portland Story Theater. And they'll be spinning tales guaranteed to entertain and enlighten and get us all in the holiday spirit, which is already in progress. Good morning and welcome to Jonesy, the show that brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones, no relation, by the way. Today is the eve of Christmas Eve, or Christmas Eve Eve, as they say at the Department of Redundancy Department, and one of our favorite holiday traditions here on Jonesy is watching A Christmas Story, the 1983 movie directed by Bob Clark, who also directed the 1981 film Porky's, another of our Christmas favorites. A Christmas Story is based on the holiday memories of writer and radio monologuist Gene Shepherd, and Shepherd's personal memories of the holiday have now become ours as well.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
That's the magic of stories. The most personal ones are often the most universal, which is a big reason we invited master storytellers Lynn Duddy and Lawrence Howard to guest on our special Christmas Eve Eve episode. Lynn and Lawrence are the founders of Portland Story Theater, an organization dedicated to the art of personal narrative. Since its start back in 2004, Portland Story Theater has been presenting live in-person events featuring a diverse group of storytellers and their tales. But the theater's gone dark during the pandemic, with the return to the stage still uncertain as to when and where, and I, for one, miss them. That's why it's a special holiday treat to have Lynn and Lawrence with us here today. We'll talk with them about Portland Story Theater, what they've been up to during the pandemic, the group's future plans, and the power of story. Then Lynn and Lawrence will each tell their own stories of Christmas past. Lynn's very spiritual and haunting Do You Have a Dog? And Lawrence's not so spiritual The Secret Christmas Tree, about how one Jewish family celebrated somewhat surreptitiously the holidays in the suburbs of New York. So change into something comfortable, maybe a pair of your softest flannel pajamas, the ones with the feet. Make yourself a cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows and settle down into an easy chair. Not that one. And join us now for our conversation with Lynn and Lawrence, which is already in progress. Lynn and Lawrence, thanks so much for joining us today and a very warm welcome back.
Thank you for having us, Ken.
This is great. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Now, unfortunately, the KBOO production studios are still closed due to the pandemic, but we're together here on Zoom, and like a little kid on Christmas Eve, I'm excited to hear the holiday stories you'll be telling us. Lynn, you're up first, and your story, which I think is a world premiere, right? You haven't told this before?
Oh, no, I did tell this years and years ago.
Oh.
Part of my one-woman show called Dark Matter, and I have retitled it, and of course, it's revamped a little bit. It was called 9 to 4, and now it's called Do You Have a Dog?
Would you tell that to us? I don't know if you wanted to set it up any more than that or just kind of go into it.
I think I'll just go into it, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
My mother died a few days before Christmas. It's a very sad thing to lose your mother, and it's very sad, especially around the holidays. It was the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death, and I'd had one of those really awful, no good, terrible days. It was stormy and rainy and very dark, and I was on my way home from work. A lot of the streetlights and the house lights were out. The traffic was a complete mess. So I decided to turn off the main drag and go up into the hills, into the darkness. I just had the light of my headlights. I kind of felt like the darkness was going to swallow me up in my little car. In the car, I had a wreath that I was planning to take to my mother. And as I drove, I realized that I was on the road that went past the cemetery. Had something pulled me through the darkness? I decided to drive up to the cemetery, and I turned onto the cemetery driveway and went up the little path in my car in that sheer darkness with the wind and the rain. And suddenly I came to a gate. It's almost like the pearly gates of heaven, but they were closed. And I didn't even know there was a gate there. And I stopped the car and I looked and saw that there was no barrier attached to that gate. So I decided to stop my car, get that wreath, and just walk up to her grave. I mean, it wasn't that far, right? Of course, I was dressed for work in heels and hose, and I got out of the car. It was super, super windy, really rainy. I hesitated. I thought, wow, this is kind of crazy. It was so dark. But I pulled my collar up around my neck and I decided, hey, I'm just going to go for it. So I walked up the path. Now, it was really different walking up the path than driving. I mean, there were twists and turns in that path that I didn't remember at all. It was peculiar. It all looked different. And after a while, I felt this sudden twinge of fear. Now, it wasn't that I was afraid that I was in a cemetery at night. Really, it was just an illogical fear of I was lost. Now, I knew that that didn't make any sense at all, but I thought, oh, if I could just glance back and see my car, I would feel better. So I turned around, but my car had been swallowed up in the dark and I couldn't see it. I decided to keep going and leaned into the wind and kept walking. Suddenly, I heard this dog barking and I peered into the distance, into that deep darkness, and I saw a man holding a dog walking through the headstones of the cemetery. I stopped. The hair on my neck stood on end. I mean, who was this guy? What was he doing here on a night like this? I mean, was he some kind of a nut? He calls out, "Do you have a dog?" So I call back, "No, should I?" "If you had a dog, he could run with my dog." So here's this guy in this dark and stormy night in a cemetery. He's just looking for a playmate for his dog. I decide to keep walking. It couldn't be much further. And as I'm walking, the man is walking too towards the path. And I see that his dog is a Doberman. I have a soft spot for Dobermans. I used to have one. So that was really wonderful. I also see that the man is really big. He's a really big man. He's the type of man that looks like he could just knock a tree down with the slap of his hand. We meet on the path. The dog's just still barking like crazy, and the wind is blowing and it's raining. And the man says, "Don't be afraid." And I say, "Oh, I'm not." But of course, I lied because I was very afraid of the man, not the dog. Here I was alone in a cemetery with only the dead as my mute witnesses. The whole time I've got my sensors out, you know, should I make a run for it? What? Wow, this is really so odd. And then the man asked me, "Have you come to visit someone?" And there's this kindness in his voice. It was so moving. I decided to trust him And just as I made that decision, he reaches down and unleashes the dog. You never saw a happier dog in your life. The dog was running and laughing and barking at the wind and just in heaven. So the man and I, we start walking together up the path towards my mother's grave. And as we walk, our shoulders kind of tap one another. But with every touch, I was reassured more and more that I'd made the right decision. You know, we talked about our dogs and how wonderful they are. And I love dogs and I have a dog. I just didn't have him with me. And it just was a very sweet conversation. He tells me that he comes every day to run his dog in the cemetery. This is it, I told him when we got to the grave. And as I'm placing the wreath, he's asking me about my mother. Who was she? What was she like? What was her name? Lorraine, I tell him. When I was done, I felt so grateful for this man who had been there to share that moment with me. We walked together down the path, and when we came to a fork in the path, he went his way, and I went mine, and I watched him melt into the darkness. Part of me wanted to call out to him. You know, I didn't even know his name. We'd had this extraordinary exchange of trust. How do you explain an experience like that? How did I know to trust him? Was he an angel? And I knew that? Or was he just a regular person who had extended himself to another regular person? And I recognized that. Had something pulled me through the darkness there for that encounter? That experience turned out to be a gift, a treasured gift for Christmas on the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death.
Oh, wow. That's such a beautiful story, Lynn.
Thank you.
It perfectly captures that sense of the spiritual, the otherworldly, the mysterious, and of course, the power of connection, love, kindness that many of us feel this time of year, or hope to feel, kind of like Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Yes, yeah. It was an amazing experience.
Lawrence, you're up next with kind of a less mysterious story, but this is one I could certainly relate to. We were both Jewish kids growing up in New York. I don't know, have you told this story before?
Yes, in a different form. And of course, it's updated, brought up into the present. But the basic story about the secret Christmas tree was part of a show I did, in 2010 or so, that was called The Adventures of Huckleberry Horowitz. I did a show the year before that was called The Adventures of Huckleberry Howard. And then I told kind of the whole big long story about
how your name was changed.
Jewish, and that was Huckleberry Horowitz.
Horowitz became Howard, just like Yanofsky became Jones, my
Correct.
Name on Ellis
Correct.
Island. And as a Jew, Lawrence, I have to say, Hanukkah, of course, has its own traditions and joys. But I hope this isn't heresy to say there's nothing like Christmas.
Well, you know, eight crazy nights and, you know, dreidel and menorah and, you know, that's all great. But wow, Santa and Frosty and Rudolph and presents under the tree. How do you beat that?
Right. And all those Christmas songs written by Jews. Huh?
Exactly. All the best Christmas songs were written by Jewish people.
Right.
Thank you, Irving Berlin. Right.
So this is The Secret Christmas Tree?
Correct.
Is the name of the story?
Yes. I grew up in a Jewish family in the suburbs of New York, and like all Jewish families, we celebrated Hanukkah. And that meant, of course, that we lit the menorah. And interestingly enough, the menorah that we had was an electric menorah. I mean, I think we had a real menorah where you lit the candles too, but we had an electric menorah. You plugged it in and it had nine little orange light bulbs. And every night you would screw in one more light bulb and it would light up. And interestingly enough, the little orange light bulbs looked exactly like Christmas lights, right? But the thing about it was that we would light the menorah and we would put it right in the front window of the house where anybody walking by out on the street could see it. And as a child, that worried me. I had some fears and some misgivings around that. I was born at the end of 1954, not that far, not that long, I should say, after the end of World War II. And I don't really remember my parents ever, you know, directly telling me or teaching me about this, but I just sort of grew up with all those stories about Anne Frank and Kristallnacht and the concentration camps. And when we would put the menorah in the window, I would think in my head, I would think, no, if they know that we're Jewish, they'll come and they'll try to hurt us. So I was always uneasy about having the menorah in the front window of the house where everybody could see it. Unlike most Jewish families, we also had a Christmas tree. But the Christmas tree was not in the living room and not by the front window where people walking by outside could see it. The Christmas tree was down in the den, and the only windows in the den faced the back of the house where nobody could really look in and see that we had a tree. And, you know, to me, Christmas was not about baby Jesus, right? Christmas was not about Jesus at all. In fact, I don't think I realized till I was 10, 12, 13 years old that Christmas was about the birth of Jesus Christ. To me, Christmas was about Santa Claus and about Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and presents under the tree, right? What's not to love about that? Christmas was just a secular holiday. So I really enjoyed Christmas, but we were warned, my brother, my sister, and I, on pain of death, that Uncle High was not to know, must never know that we have a Christmas tree in our den. Uncle High was my mother's uncle, right? He was one of three brothers. There was High, there was Abraham, and there was Paul. And Abraham, the middle brother, was my mother's father, my papa. But Papa died very young when I was only 3 years old. And so Uncle High kind of became the patriarch on my mother's side of the family. And to tell the truth, Uncle High was not my favorite. Uncle Paul, on the other hand, I loved Uncle Paul. The thing about him was that he was deaf and mute. He could not speak. He could make some sounds, some funny sounds, but he couldn't actually formulate words. And Uncle Paul communicated through sign language and also the manual alphabet. And I had a card, like a laminated card, that showed the different hand positions to spell out the letters of the alphabet. We didn't see Uncle Paul very often, but whenever he was going to come and visit, I would study up so that when Uncle Paul arrived, I could spell out, "Hello, Uncle Paul." And he would just be so delighted, so thrilled that we had, you know, taken the effort to learn how to do that. And he would clap his hands and make some funny sounds, and he was just thrilled. The other cool thing about Uncle Paul was that he loved to eat dessert after dinner, but he always had to have a piece of rye bread with dessert, right? So no matter what the dessert was, whether it was vanilla ice cream or chocolate pudding, it would be served with a piece of rye bread. And sometimes we would even take a spoon of chocolate pudding and put it right on the rye bread and then take a bite of that, you know, like an open-faced sandwich. And we kids just, you know, this was so unusual and so out of the norm that we just thought it was the coolest thing ever. You know, sometimes we would beg Mom, could we have a piece of bread with dessert, even when Uncle Paul wasn't there? But no, that only happened when we saw Uncle Paul. Like I said, Papa died young and Uncle High kind of became the patriarch on my mother's side. Uncle High was a lawyer and a CPA. He was very successful, made a lot of money, but he was just not that much fun. Uncle High was very serious. But he and his wife, my Aunt Anna, they traveled around the world. I know I have pictures somewhere of them sitting on a camel in front of the Great Pyramids. One thing I remember very clearly was that they came back from a trip to Africa, and they brought us some gifts. They brought like a carved antelope, a wood carved antelope, and a carved elephant, but they also brought back a spear with a long carved wooden stick and a real actual steel or iron head that was really quite sharp, and some monkey hair that was kind of wound as a collar right where the head met the stick. And the spear was really quite sharp. And I actually remember, with only a little embarrassment, poking holes in the sheetrock walls of my bedroom with the spear just to see if I really could. But, you know, it really kind of bugged me that we couldn't tell Uncle High about the Christmas tree, that, you know, I was being asked to keep that secret. Because like I said, I didn't see anything wrong with celebrating Christmas, but there was definitely this sense that that was wrong, that that was inappropriate, that that was something that Jewish people just did not do. And I didn't understand why. The irony of the whole thing is that while my parents were asking me to hide the fact that we celebrated Christmas, I kind of wanted to hide the fact that we celebrated Hanukkah, right? I mean, I loved Hanukkah, and I loved lighting the candles and saying the blessings, and I loved my Nana's latkes, her potato pancakes. She made the best potato pancakes in the world. I even loved playing the dreidel game. I just didn't necessarily want to advertise my Jewishness to the whole world and to anybody who might walk by out on the street. All that was a long, long, long time ago. And in the years and the decades since then, I have come to really fully embrace my Jewishness. But I still love to celebrate Christmas, I must say. I have a granddaughter now, and she is 5.5 years old, and she is just the apple of my eye. She is the smartest kid. And, you know, nothing makes you enjoy and appreciate the holidays more than having a little one to share them with, right? My granddaughter is smart as a tack at 5. She knows and can recite the bracha, the Hebrew blessing over the candles. And we light the menorah. And in fact, we have the electric menorah that belonged to my family when I was a child. And we light that as well as some real candle menorahs. And we put that menorah in the front window of the house. And I'm okay with that. That is just great by me. But, you know, she's also a dreidel champion. Boy, this girl can spin the dreidel like nobody's business. But last weekend, we took her out past North Plains to a place called Loch Lolly. And this is our family's Christmas tradition. This is something that my wife, Lynn, had discovered and was doing even for a year or two before we met. And we're about to celebrate 40 years of marriage. So this is a tradition that goes back a long time. We missed last year because of the pandemic, of course, but I think that during our 40 years of marriage, we've been to Loch Lolly 39 times. And the great thing about Loch Lolly is that you can go out there and you can cut a tree. You can also go to the little log cabin lodge and buy an ornament. And we do that every year. So our collection of Christmas ornaments grows and grows. And you can go visit Santa in the Red Barn and tell him what you want for Christmas. Some years they even have a reindeer there, and you can see the reindeer and feed it and maybe pet it a little bit. And then you can go down by the duck pond where there's kind of a lodge, and there's always a roaring fire in there, and you can get a cup of hot chocolate and eat a cookie and feed the ducks. So it's kind of like the, you know, the full meal deal Christmas experience, right? And I just love it so much. So I feel like I have the best of all possible worlds. You know, it's just so wonderful to celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah. And just yesterday, our granddaughter came over and helped us finish decorating our Christmas tree. And I'm happy to report that the Christmas tree is in the living room, right in front of the front window, where everybody walking by on the street can see it too.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it brings back a lot of memories of when I was a kid in New York too. We there were a few years we had a Christmas tree. We didn't have an Uncle Hi though.
Yeah. Not everybody does.
No.
Not everybody does, right?
But I hope everybody had an Uncle Paul.
Right?
Uncle Paul was so cool, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, now I just feel like getting into my PJs and drinking a cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows.
Thank you so much, Ken.
And thanks for inviting us. This has been a lot of fun.
Really nice. This was so beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, I just love the stories. Thanks for bringing us all so much holiday cheer today. And Merry Christmas and belated Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, that's all for this episode of Jonesy here on KVOOC Community Radio. If you missed any part of the show, would just like to hear it all again, you can listen anytime on demand at kboo.fm/program/Jonesy, Jonesy, or just search for it on the KVOOC website. Before we head out the door, a big thank you to our guests today, master storytellers Lynn Duddy and Lawrence Howard, founders of Portland Story Theater. The company is currently on hiatus during the pandemic, but you can watch previous performances from both Lynn and Lawrence and a host of urban tellers on their YouTube channel, PDX Story Theater, and you can learn more about their work and all upcoming events, and I hope we're going to see quite a few of them in 2022, online at pdxstorytheater.org. Jonesy, by the way, comes to you every other week on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Tune in for our next show on Thursday, January 13th, 2022, at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, wishing you all a Merry Christmas and better and brighter stories of your own in the new year.